and welcome to another episode of Good News for Radio. And 50 years ago, on the 16th of July 1969, some astronauts went up to the moon. Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins strapped into the Apollo spacecraft on top of a Saturn V rocket and blasted into orbit. Only took them about 11 minutes, and 4 days later, two of them, Armstrong and Aldrin, became the first humans to set foot on the moon. That, according to some commentators, was the greatest ever technological achievement for humans. Well, at least so far. That's, of course, before the technological achievement of recording the Good News for Radio show. Yeah. My name's Peter Timothy Cooper, and here in the studio with me is my constant conversation partner, Beryl Polden. How are you today, Beryl?
I'm okay, thank you, Peter.
Good, good. It's an interesting time looking back to see that space travel is now a historical event.
Mm, yeah. Yes.
We have to go back in history to talk about it.
Yes. I mean, there have been other technological events to compare with it, I guess, with all the moon programs and universe programs that technology has been capable of.
Yes.
But it seems to me that it's dropped off the radar somehow.
Yes, yes. Yes, there was talk in the United States. Now, the United States has taken a lead on this. In fact, of course, although Russia and the USSR were at the forefront of space exploration to start with, the United States of America are still the only country, anyway, to have landed humans on the moon. And
yes.
So they seem to be winning out in terms of human involvement, at any rate. And the current president of the United States was talking about sending people out into space again and,
yes,
putting more investment into the space program. So maybe it's going to be reinvigorated. But yes, it did seem to lose its way for a little bit, for some time, at least sending humans in, because they kept losing them. But I suppose, they died,
Yes.
Which is bad PR, but they were willing to take the risk. Now, here's an interesting thing. We were looking at this today because it's 50 years ago, so it's interesting. But also, it's an interesting idea for our show because we look at things from a Christian worldview point of view, or I suppose in this case, a Christian universe view point of view.
Yes.
What do we make of people blasting off into the heavens, Beryl? What's going on? I mean, heavens above, what are they doing? Are they? Is this like a more technologically advanced version of the Tower of Babel? Are we making ourselves equal with God? Not just building a high tower, going even higher than that, going into orbit and beyond. What's going on? Is this just the human joint ego glorifying itself by doing this?
I tend to think that way.
Okay.
I might not be heavily against it,
yes,
from that point of view, but I tend to think that man is trying to prove something here.
Yes.
That he is as clever,
yes,
as anybody could be. And of course, it is a tremendous achievement. I mean, I haven't achieved all I want on Earth yet, let alone going to the moon.
No, not ready to go to the moon. Don't need to expand that far yet. No.
No.
It's interesting. There was some comment on the a rival radio show on the BBC recently about what would happen today if we sent people to the moon. What would we see? Well, we probably, instead of the rather fuzzy camera work that we saw with people watching on TV, we'd probably see crystal clear HD. And then on Instagram, we'd see people taking selfies in their spacesuits.
Yes.
It'd be a different experience these days because of the way that it could be reported. But lots of things have changed in that way. There was recently a British astronaut was up in the space station and sent pictures and tweets.
He tweeted
from space. So would we see that again? It's interesting, isn't it, how times have changed. So Do you think then, I mean, should we, 50 years on, should we be looking at sending more people? You think no, you think it should be emphasis in a different way?
Well, I think it's good that findings from these ventures can help human beings, like, for instance, Velcro was first discovered, wasn't it?
Yes.
Through something
to do with the moon. I believe that's
right, yes. I believe so.
It's an easy, because you need some way to be able to undo and fix things without taking your gloves off. Yeah. So
yes.
I believe that's right, yeah.
And all sorts of things that are helpful to us can be found out like that.
Yes.
But I think there's a whole deal of stuff that can be done on Earth that could advance humankind without going into outer space.
Yes.
And where does it get us anyway? I mean, it's just extending our areas of knowledge, isn't it, to a universal area? And how does that help us anyway?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. So, let's take your assertion that I guess behind what you're saying, I'm assuming the assertion is that to expend a large amount of money, energy, etc., finding out things just for the sake of it, going somewhere just for the sake of it, that's this case, is wrong, because there are more targeted things you could do, research into curing diseases, finding places where you can build better accommodation and places where you can grow more food. So you're saying it's wrong to do things for the sake of it, or just for the fun of it in this case, when it's so very expensive, when you could target your resources at things that are more targeted to produce results which are good for people.
Yes,
right?
There is one thing that I have thought of, and I don't know whether back 50 years ago it was already beginning to become apparent that there wouldn't be enough room on Earth, and that we would have to find somewhere that was more conducive to human life as Earth is.
Yes,
and thinking of climate change and so on.
Yes. So what do you think, gentle listener? We love to get your responses, and we don't hear them live. This is a pre-recorded show, but it's always good to receive them, and we can include them in later shows. So the email is goodnews@petertimothycooper.com. goodnews@petertimothycooper.com. That'll get to me, and both I and Beryl will be able to respond if you make a comment or correction. I doubt if that's the case, but or a question, that would be great. Anyway, back to the point at hand in our discussion. We're just talking about how it could very well be seen as immoral to spend so much money on spaceflight, risking people's lives, when there could be people could better spend their resources, including the risking their lives bit, on things that are more targeted. Now, I don't agree. I mean, I'm just trying to express your point of view, and that is a very strong point of view. And it's my point of view is more difficult to express, in that there isn't a simple way of justifying it. But what I would say, it goes something like this, that God has created the universe. We should joy in what he has created. He gives us this lust for knowledge, this thirst for knowledge, shall we say. He gives us these great abilities. And so this goes to twofold. One is that exploring the knowledge, finding out about new parts of the universe, the same impetus that sends people down into the oceans or up the mountains, these new experiences, and just glorying in what God has created, if you're a Christian, or just glorying in the thing if you don't believe in God. But if you believe that God is behind it, you're worshipping him by doing it. So space travel is a way of worshipping God. We're spending great amounts of energy and time and resources. But if you're also trusting God to provide all that you need, it becomes all the same to me anyway as tithing or giving the first fruits of you're trusting
thought.
God for everything else. But there's more to it than that. These abilities that he's given us, this tremendous technological achievement, where do those abilities come from? Well, I have a long-standing argument with a friend of mine, Mark of Mark and Pete, if you listen to my other show, about what is the status of being attractive. Okay, so if you're physically attractive, you can make a whole career out of it. You can make a lot of money.
You certainly can.
And often, just being physically attractive helps you to get preferment in another job as well.
Yes.
You could be too attractive, meaning that you don't get preferment because people are just uncomfortable with you. But in general, it helps. Now, of course, you can use your skills to improve your appearance. But if your job and your success comes from your appearance, it's not the same. Say if you're a person who has great intelligence and tenacity and can work hard, that person, you can say, oh, they've done it. But if you just did it because of your attractiveness, you haven't really achieved as much. Whereas I disagree. I think all these attributes are God-given attributes, the physical attractiveness mm-hmm. and the intelligence and the tenacity and ability to work hard. They're all God-given, so we should thank God for all of them. I don't think one of them is above the other. And the same way, this technological achievement, the ability to do that comes from God. He created humans with this great intelligence. So I think we can thank God for doing it. It's a human achievement, means it is a God achievement.
Yes.
Because God creates humans and gives them that intelligence. So from both sides, I'm arriving at justifying my assertion that it's a good thing to go and explore in space and do these crazy things, because it's glorifying God's creation and we're trusting him to provide what we actually need. And secondly, the abilities that we're using in themselves are using God's given gifts, so it's a way of giving thanks to him. And I suppose the other thing that I'd say is, I don't, so behind what I was just saying, is my belief that there aren't limited resources. There's just limited inventiveness and intelligence. God has created everything that we need. And it may be that involves going to other planets, as you suggested, Beryl, but it may not mean that, because just take one discovery, that of splitting the atom. We suddenly found that there was huge amounts of energy stored in atoms. You know, it's all around us. We just find it difficult. We can get at it, but it's difficult. But as we become more technologically advanced, it become easier and easier. And if we can get together a fusion reaction and contain it, you know, fusion reactions are occurring in the sun, but you wouldn't want to go too near it because it wouldn't be that safe.
Yeah.
So if we can find a way of containing them in some way, that means you can carry it around, you'd have almost limitless energy, which means you could...
Which
you could use to produce the things that you need. So I believe that God has given us this intelligence and abilities, and that there isn't a limit. And we should, so my contention is, lighten up, let's joy, let's glory in these great, crazy things. Let's go off to the moon, let's send people to the moon, let's send people down into the depths, let's get people, let's have a race with the spacecraft so who can go fastest. let's do crazy things because we're trusting God to provide all our needs. Have I convinced you? No.
But perhaps you might have convinced somebody else.
Maybe someone's been convinced. That is what I believe. But behind what we were saying, when we started out on this topic, we did have another question in mind that we wanted to build up to.
Yes.
And that is, okay, whether or not we should go, that's the first stage. But then, in going there, what are you achieving? Are you achieving getting closer to God? Or are you getting closer to God, whether it's in a good or a bad way? When the Tower of Babel was built, as I mentioned at the start, back in the Old Testament, you have a description of people building up this, getting together and building up this tower, which is self-aggrandizing, or aggrandizing of humans, trying to get up to the heavens to show themselves equal with God, it says in Scripture. So we're going even higher. As I questioned earlier, is that the same thing? So, and is it could be in a good way, though, that we're getting closer to God. So are we? Do we get closer to God by going higher, do we get closer to God by going into the heavens, you know, going to the moon? What do you think, Beryl? Is
no, I don't
that?
Think so.
There's nothing in that.
No, because okay. I think mostly nowadays, most people who study these things would realise that God isn't out there.
Yes.
The further we go, whether upwards, downwards, sideways, whatever, God isn't at a great distance away. And in fact, the Bible tells us so.
Yes. I think, yeah, that is my take. We were looking earlier at Psalm 139. This starts at verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. So this is the contention of the psalmist that, well, God's anywhere. You can't.
Yes.
He's anywhere, you can't escape him. That's both a good and a bad thing. You know, if you're trying to escape him for bad reasons, get away from judgment, tough luck. If you are running away because you're scared, good news, he's there and merciful, and he's going to be there for you wherever. So it seems to take on in Psalm 139 the idea of cosmic powers. It says, but the night, it says, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. So you can go to the darkest place. It doesn't matter because God's his own source of light, I guess.
Yes.
His glory comes and fills it.
And that's hard to imagine. Because we are so used to the human idea of light,
yes,
and dark,
yeah,
and what we individually can see with our own eyes, but God is God,
yes,
he is not human like us,
yeah, yes, that's right. So it's interesting that what we have here is often claimed. I went up to the heavens when God wasn't there. Not true. God is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So we often call the sky the heavens. And my firm belief is that that's what the people in the early Bible writers also thought. This is a real question. Do people really think, genuinely believe? I think they do. Genuinely believe that people in ancient times were more stupid than we are now and actually thought that that was the direction, that God was up there somewhere. It's used figuratively, isn't it? Hasn't it always been? It's the way, when I read the Bible, it seems to me that they're being figurative when they refer to heaven,
yes,
God's presence, as up. The reason I can show you that they thought that, taking parts of the Old Testament, taking the story of the prophet Elijah. Now, when he died, actually, he went straight to be with God, didn't he?
Yes.
You could argue that he didn't
die.
He was caught up in a chariot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the people who saw him go in this golden chariot, taken by God, then hunted for him, right?
See, yes.
A bit of a false errand. So he went off to heaven, they hunted for him. On horseback, and they walked around. They made no attempt to go up.
No.
They hunted him. Well, and there's a very simple reason for this. If you think of what a chariot does, that doesn't go up either.
No.
The song Swing Low, Sweet Chariot may have ruined this idea, because the idea of it swinging down to you. But it's figurative. You see, a chariot came and took him to heaven. It didn't mean he went up. Now, there was a specific place, by the way, where the Hebrew people thought that God was. It was how you got into heaven. They had a very specific place in mind. It was in the middle of the temple in Jerusalem. You know, well, it was up a hill, but not directly up. So
no.
I do not believe that they thought that. It seems to me there was no real belief that if you went straight up into the air, went up through the atmosphere, whatever they thought that was, whatever they thought it was made of, they didn't think you'd get to God by going that way. The only way to get to God was, well, through worshipping him, but to go to where he chose to manifest himself. So there was a connection between heaven and earth. which they thought was in the temple. So when they lost the temple, they thought they'd lost their connection with God, their direct connection mm-hmm. with God.
And there's also an antithesis to this.
Yes.
We say as Christians, God cannot be in situ in hell.
Yes.
Because God is without sin. There is no possibility he would go to hell.
Yes.
And yet the psalmist says...
Though it's quite clear that God is everywhere.
Yes.
Yes. I think that belief comes from... It sprung up this idea taken from other religions around, like the Manichaean religion, which was popular. Yes, real religion, folks. Popular in the first few centuries after Christ. Pretty much forgotten now, it disappeared.
Yes.
Christianity swamped it and it disappeared. But people did come out of that religion, including one of the most respected writers in the church, Augustine of Hippo. He was a Manichae and he became a Christian, but he brought in some of the beliefs. And also even at the time of the writing of the Bible, there were what known as the Gnostics, special knowledge people. They thought there was a special way you could know things. And these people also all seem to have this strange idea that there's good and there's evil, or in the Manichaeans, there's light and there's dark, and there are two equal and opposite forces fighting against each other. Whereas we don't believe that. That isn't a Christian belief, that there's good and there's equal and they're sort of duking it out and see who can win. There's good, who is God, who made everything. And within that, there is some darkness that has grown up out of what he's created, a distortion of what he's created. And what he should do and will do is destroy all the bad stuff, bad bits. But he's giving it time because he doesn't want to, you know, destroy things that could be saved or turned from the darkness into light. That is to say, mainly us. Well, I mean, and other parts of creation. So he is destroying the dark bits, but the dark bits are part of his creation. So it's not like God can't go down to hell. He can go everywhere. He created everything. You could even say he created hell. Did God create evil? Well, no, he creates the stuff, the people, the creatures from which evil can come. But it's a distortion of what he created. So he didn't create it directly, that's what I would say. There's no idea of that. When we have in Genesis the account of creation, everything's good, and then there's some deception coming in.
Yes.
So the problem is regarding that there's two opposites, there's up and down, and God is up and evil is down, and we're in the middle. Whereas that's not the case. When you go down to hell, it simply means the place where people are dead.
Yes.
It doesn't even necessarily mean bad.
No. So there's a lot to think about there.
Yeah, yeah.
And good thing is that we don't have to go up to heaven to bring God down.
Yeah. So thank God for that. We can close with this thought. You know, Beryl and I disagreed on whether you should be going up or whether... the United States or a more international conglomeration put game together should be sending up rockets up into space and spending huge amounts of money doing this. But the good news is you don't have to do it to meet with God because he's everywhere. Going into space doesn't get you physically closer to God. In fact, you can get to God physically. You're as close anywhere. Spiritually, you're only as close as your faith in Jesus. So you just need to get to know him. I suppose it's this is the thought. Isn't it? With getting to heaven, it's not where you are.
No.
It's who you know.
Absolutely. And isn't that true about most of life in general?
It's who you know. It's who you know. In this case, it's knowing the only one who can save you, the Lord Jesus Christ, and without him, you're not going to get close to God. So going up to the moon isn't going to help either. Well, that's it for this week on Good News for Radio. Catch you next time.